Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus.
Radio dispatch, do you know who this is?
No, who is this is?
Well, I think we screwed up. I think we got the wrong intro this week. Uh-oh.
That's okay.
I was waiting for the words and, you know, the cool Vincent Price stuff. And halfway
nothing
through.
But professionalism from us, dude.
I know. Isn't that always the case? Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Abyss. I think this is like episode 15 or something. Live on Blog Talk Radio. And we are supposed to have a special guest here tonight, and we're going to soon. Real soon, I hope.
Santa Claus?
Even better than Santa Claus.
Better than Santa? Oh, boy.
Is this music going to end?
Yes, Scott. There is a Santa
Claus. Will it be Captain Crunch?
Very close. We're actually expecting none other than Michael Roddy from Universal Orlando.
The original Captain Crunch himself. I don't know what
Captain Amazing.
No clue. Well, yes, your man crush.
Yes, my complete man crush. And thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. Too.
Anytime, bro. Don't mention it.
Yeah. So, yeah, yet another Christmas episode going on this week. We are having Mr. Michael Roddy on the show to talk about none other than, no, not Halloween Horror Nights. Yeah, and
Wait. He does something else?
Yes, he does something else.
Really? There's something else?
Yes, believe it or not, there is something else other than Halloween Horror Nights that goes on at Universal Orlando. It's, you know, a theme park that's open year-round. And, yeah, now's the holiday season, and they have all kinds of cool holiday stuff going on, such as Grinchmas, the Macy's Day Parade, and all kinds of cool stuff, all of which that Mr. Roddy has so diligently worked on. So
I had heard rumors that there were holidays besides the Halloween, but I wasn't sure whether to believe them or not.
I still don't believe them. I'm very upset. After 2 months after Halloween, something horrible happens, and I have to be with my family, and it's scary.
Well,
I just have a relaxing axe murder, just to,
yeah.
You know.
Go ahead, get it out. Go on. Come on.
Well, we're waiting for something to happen here. What did we do this weekend, Eric?
What did we do this weekend, Scott?
We went to SeaWorld, but only one section of SeaWorld, because we got to go to Wheel of Fortune, and we got to meet Vanna White and Pat Sajak.
Amazing. You got to actually meet them?
Yes, got to meet them. But that's not important right now, because what is important is that Mr. Roddy has joined us. Thank
you. Yes.
Ours.
Where is he?
Hi.
Hi. How's it going?
There he is.
He's great.
Snuck up
great
on us.
Happy holidays.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you. And I hear you guys have a little show going on.
Oh, Universal? Yeah, absolutely. It's called How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And it's part of the... Hello?
Never heard of it.
You still there?
Yes, we are.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Well, it's a little over 50 years old. Some would call it a classic. And it's part of our whole Grinchmas celebration at Islands of Adventure, which is part of our holidays package at Universal.
And you actually did something really cool last year in bringing Mannheim Steamroller in to do the soundtrack for it. This year, they released their new CD. I believe it's called Holiday, or goodness, help me out.
Christmasville.
Christmasville. I wanted to say that, but it's completely felt wrong. But
politically correct.
Yeah, trying to be Holidayville. But on the back of it, one thing that really caught my eye is that the whole album was pretty much dedicated to Universal Orlando. And they mentioned
Absolutely.
Stuff like Grinchmas and even Mythos. So, I mean, I'm reading the back of it. I'm like, oh, my God, I know where that is. Yeah.
Easily pleased, aren't you, Eric?
I am. I'm absolutely pleased. And you guys also had, to kind of mark the occasion, you guys had Mannheim Steamroller last weekend at Universal. How did that go? How cool was that?
It was amazing. It was awesome badness. actually, the year before, just to kind of go back on what you were saying, is when we decided to, at Universal, decided to bring Grinchmas back in full force, we knew that, you know, we'd been, I believe at that point it had been 7 years since the feature film that Ron Howard directed with Jim Carrey. And, you know, when we first started the Grinch projects, the first Grinch I did was at Islands of Adventure, and it was based on Dr. Seuss and the animated special. Then the next year, this movie, you know, we found out this movie was coming out called How the Grinch Stole Christmas. So we developed this whole show that really was focused on what the film brought and kind of was some synergy between us and Imagine and Universal Pictures. And that was very successful for us for a number of years. But as we got further away from the film, that show kind of seemed to lose its luster. And nothing against the film. The film's fine. It's just it's not the timeless classic that the animated special is, nor is
it's not
the
Chuck Jones and Boris Karloff, right?
Right. And yeah. So when we decided that we were bringing it back, I knew one of the things I wanted to do was to try to combine all three of those into a project that got back to the simplicity of the story, which is, you know, one about faith and one about forgiveness. And it's a great, you know, it's our Christmas carol. That is our great American Christmas tale that will be, as long as people tell stories, there will be How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Well, when we decided we were going to bring it back and I started putting everything together, I knew that I didn't want to use the music that we had used before because that was very specific. And I wanted to try to create a unique sound that would capture what the Who sound like and also kind of meld the animated special, the stuff that Albert Haig did, and also stand on its own as kind of like, wow, this is really fun. So, you know, we had been talking. We had become acquainted with Chip Davis, who is the guy that he came up with Mannheim Steamroller. He's the man behind it. And we'd been talking to him about different projects, and I kind of got this idea. It was funny. We were at Finnegan's, of all places, having lunch.
Great place to come up with ideas. I've come up with a few there myself.
Well, we were sitting there, and we were literally maybe a month and a half, almost 2 months, before the first rehearsal. And I said, what about Mannheim Steamroller? And we said, let's give him a call. And we called Chip Davis, and he tells the story really you know, a funny story is he's out in the middle of a lake recording wave sounds for a project and got this phone call, and he is a big fan of the Grinch, and he was like, yeah, man, let's do it. And, you know, within, 3 weeks, he had already arranged everything, and he was with the Chicago Symphony recording the soundtrack, and next thing I know, I get these tracks, and he said, do what you want to with them, and I actually contributed lyrics on one of the tracks, so I have my name in the credits as a lyricist for one of the songs on the album. And, you know, we put this show together, and it doesn't get more, I guess, you know, you hear about lightning in a bottle. Everything just came together, and it was probably one of the most rewarding experiences for me personally, and I know a number of the cast and crew felt the same way, that we all felt that we were onto something that was quite special. And last year, you know, this score by Mannheim, this show coming back, to reclaiming its roots, and also being just a simple, innocent show, people seemed to really respond to it. Well, Chip enjoyed working on the music so much, he was like, you know, this could be my Christmas release for next year, Mannheim's main release. And we're like, great, that'd be awesome. Next thing I know, it's being released, and I think it broke the top 10 on the album sales, so it's doing well. And you know, it's talk about synergy. You can go and see the show and then go buy the CD, which is fantastic. And one of the other cool things is that Chip wanted to do an album launch, and he said, well, let's put together another group. I'll use some of my main key guys, and I'm not really touring with Mannheim this year, so I'll be able to come down there because I love the show and I love the property. And said, you know, Michael, I'd love you to direct it. So I put together this concert that was really, we called it, it was more of a show than a concert, because in the middle of it, we had a concert version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas using that music and some of the key players from the cast. And we had two shows last Saturday night to kind of kick off the holidays program after a day of Grinch. And then in between, we had the Macy's Holiday Parade. And, you know, you just talk about, I can't tell you how many people came up to me and were just like, I am in the Christmas spirit. The year has been tumultuous, and you know, so many people are worried and about the economy and what's going on in the country. And they said, this has given us back our Christmas spirit. And that's the biggest compliment anybody can get.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. And none of us were able to make it, unfortunately, but we did have our photographer work there. Yeah. Sorry.
I thought last year.
Now, don't start that. Yeah. You know you
just
love
kidding.
Me.
I do. Did you just get married? Did I hear you got married?
No. I've been married for 11 years.
Oh, okay. That's
11
years
ago.
Got married.
Yeah, I just got married 11 years ago. Right. 3 days, a new...
I got married twice.
In divorce, three times.
Yeah, he had divorced twice, too.
No, but we had Brooke there, and just the pictures, she took like over 200 pictures, really good pictures of the whole event, and you guys had some old standard Universal guys come out, and I didn't see any Grinches out there, but what I did see made me smile from all the old Halloween Horror Nights vids. We saw, you know, some characters that we... Not characters, but people that do the characters from those vids. So it was nice to see them again. It was also nice to see the park just really dolled up and everything looking nice.
I mentioned that I still watched a video on YouTube of the Mannheim Steamroller show from last week or week before last, and there was a guy up there doing the Grinch parts. He was singing the Grinch, but he wasn't wearing a Grinch costume. He had on a tux. Is this one of the guys play the Grinch in the parks?
It is, and what we did is, again, we presented the concert version. So everyone was dressed to the nines and in tuxedos. He actually had a green vest, and he's a performer that, you know, from just talking to him in everyday life, you know, you don't think Grinch, but when he actually... you know, puts the character on, a lot of people were like, I never would have believed that I could have seen the Grinch without the makeup, but there he is. He did such a great job. And, you know, it's funny, a lot of people don't realize that the performers that play the Grinch, the amount of time that they spend with those prosthetics just trying to get the right smile and the right nod and the right look, you know, so this was really great for him to be able to flex those muscles without having the prosthetic. So it was even more exaggerated and was really kind of fun and hip.
Really cool. And if you guys listening on the Blog Talk Radio chat, if you guys do want to call in, you can give us a call at 347-237-5266. Real quick for calls. The other big thing you guys have going on right now is the Macy's Day Parade. It's growing and growing and just becoming more and more of a tradition.
Yeah, and you know, that's what's really kind of cool about our property is diversity. You know, even for our regular park hours, just the two properties between Universal and Islands of Adventure, and then you add City Walk in there, but there's something for everybody. There's something like that has touched you in some way or that you're a fan of, and with Christmas, we kind of go after that same mentality that you have everything from the kind of whimsical wackiness of the Grinch, but there's still the heart and the tradition of Christmas there. to Macy's, which you really can't get more traditional than that. I mean, it Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and you know, bringing those balloons and those float pieces down. People, you know, a lot of people never get a chance to go to New York and experience that. It's very, you know, people on Thanksgiving to see that. Now they can come to Universal any day and see a full-blown Macy's parade, and it's become a tradition in Orlando and in the state, and I believe it's even out of state that people plan their holidays to come here, and that's quite the compliment.
And the best thing, you don't have to freeze your butt off in the city, so that's the best.
Well, waking up at 6 in the morning, I want to see the Sesame Street throat, and if I don't see the Sesame Street throat, I'm going to choke someone.
Yeah,
I
better see me some Garfield balloon.
If I don't see Bart Simpson flying around that corner with his eye, and
I'm gonna paste somebody in the head. I'm telling you.
Now, have you guys ever thought of doing something? You personally sent me a story a couple of months ago about the Christmas Story House. Have you? I know you guys kind of incorporate some of that stuff and also some of the other stuff into a lot of the decorations. Like one of the giant Christmas trees, there's a squirrel that pops out a la National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yep.
Have you guys ever considered throwing some Christmas Story stuff in there? Maybe some random guy walking around yelling, you'll shoot your eye out, or...
What a giant leg.
Or a giant leg. Yeah,
you know, it's interesting. Within our vault, there are treatments and concepts with pretty much any Christmas property you can think of. Again, it always comes down to people that own those and whether or not they want to lend themselves to theme park entertainment. We love Christmas Story. We love It's a Wonderful Life. We love Christmas Vacation. You know, at one point we were talking about doing a holiday version of the 360 show. But the clip's rights alone became prohibitive for a short run. But, you know, we're always looking at our entire entertainment package, just not for the holidays, looking at what's out there in popular culture because, again, we want to have that diversity so that when people come, they're like, oh, I love that. Oh, I love that. You know, oh, I forgot about that, and I love that too. That's what we want to present. So, and also, what's the newest thing? You know, there's some stuff coming up that – will be fantastic around the holidays in the next couple of years. So just keep your eyes out.
All right. Well, guys, do you have any other questions? Come on, Bruce. I know you got something.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I did want to ask you, I'm sorry. I'm distracted by a shiny thing. I did want to ask you one thing. Last year, I sort of stumbled upon the Grinchmas show by accident. I was walking around Islands of Adventure, and I just came around that corner in Seuss Landing, and there it was, sort of going on full blown right there in front of me. And I was wondering why it's kind of pushed off into the corner of Seuss Landing. Something this elaborate, with this, you know, with this heavily scripted and the music and all the actors, I would think it would be in its own theater.
Well, there's not a theater in Seuss Landing, so
exactly.
I
think that's what Eric said to me earlier when I approached to that.
Well, no, you know, and it was funny because there was a conscious decision. We looked at originally, is this something we want to put in the Toon Amphitheater? And, you know, we came up with the idea that there was an extended queue space over by Cat in the Hat that wasn't being utilized and hadn't been utilized since, you know, first, second year of the parks. And we said, okay, what if we took that area and built a stage and create this kind of horseshoe that is, you know, if you look at the, again, back to the animated special and back to the book, Whoville is nestled in something like that. You enter into Whoville and then it's there. That's kind of what we wanted, and we used the natural architecture of Cat in the Hat and also kind of the berm and the all of the kind of foliage and stuff so that when you walk in, it's not apparent. And then as you get closer, it opens up and then Whoville's right there in front of you. And it seemed to work really well for the show. And, you know, it's a draw. I mean, people opening day, we were just amazed and so just in awe of the fact that there were lines of people to see that first show and that second
yeah,
show.
Yeah, there were when I was there too. Well, when I stumbled upon it, I just sort of came around the corner, not even knowing it was there. I heard it, but I didn't see it. And all of a sudden, it was almost like I was in the middle of the show. It was like, whoa, what's going on here? And I, you know, I was on the stage before I had to back up and realize where I was. Not actually on the stage.
Well, you weren't really on the stage, were you?
No.
Is that's I don't know.
That sounds fun. No, I didn't. I wanted to, but I
had to. Unless you sing.
He's not allowed.
Yeah. We trespassed you, didn't we, for that once?
Yes, I've been kicked out of your park many times. It's fun.
At least once for every event. I mean, yeah.
That's right. Every event, I got the boot prints on my butt to prove right here. But seriously, it was like being surrounded by who's all of a sudden. I was just didn't even know what was going on for a minute. It took me a minute to stop, and I had to realize what I was seeing there.
Well, there's the street actors too going around as who's.
Yeah, that's what I was.
That's the other thing too. We have the Whoville Decorating Committee. We have a Whoville Tree Lot. You know, we the site sound is actually WHO Who Radio with Lulu who is your DJ, and there's fun quirky Sioux songs and Christmas songs and radio broadcasts that are in the style of Seuss and Grinch. And you know what's great is the Who's come around and they are there to decorate every inch because the Who's like Christmas the most, and if you stand still in that area they'll decorate you, and you know every so often the Grinch will come through and take some of those decorations down, and it's great. I mean, it's really, it's becoming a tradition again, and that's, you know, what a great compliment that we have two traditions now on our property. We have the Macy's, you know, holiday parade, and now we have Grinchmas again, and it's fantastic. We know, especially this year, it's people have a choice, and when they choose us, we work very hard to present the best shows we can, and when people choose us, we take care of them. So, you know, come on down.
You do go all out, I'll say that.
I'm not a Christmas fan that much, but I love the parade. I think that's cool because, I mean, it's just a little kid, you know, I've gone out and watched a show on TV, and it's something that you just don't get to do. And it's so interesting to see, you know, hot air balloons or, you know, inflatable balloons just going through and, you know, a parade setting. I think that's pretty cool.
That's what Universal needs to do, I've always thought. It needs to take things that you've seen on TV or on a screen and bring them to you, you know, in real life. That's the whole point.
That's kind of what they've done since opening, Bruce. That's kind
of
they're continuing.
That is the theme of our theme park.
Yeah, it's a studio, yeah. You know?
Okay.
Hey, Roddy, you got a quick call?
What?
Do you have time to take a quick call?
Sure.
All right. And we're going to go right to the 561. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
What's your name, boss?
Quinn.
Quinn, okay.
I have a quick December question. There was a rumor that you guys were starting to build houses for Halloween Horror Nights in December already. Is that true?
Jesus.
What if all you do before that thing? You know.
Okay, well, Merry Christmas, and
Merry Christmas.
Actually, yeah, build? No, we haven't started building. The houses are well down a design path, though, so there will be construction earlier this year than ever before.
Leave it to the audience to ask a question like that.
I'm trying to restrain myself. I really am.
Who made him call in? Who made him do that? Seriously,
I wanted to just rib you a little bit about your astounding performance in Interstellar Terror this year.
Oh boy!
I didn't see that until after we interviewed you. I would have commented on it then. I won't say that, but just great performance. It was you should have seen him rolling his eyes. It was great. Blood all over him. He was great. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. You know, that was a lot of fun, and I enjoyed doing that. And we try as kind of designers to step in from time to time, just, you know, because it's the most fun you can have. I mean, it's like a work release program or a stress release program. You can get out years of stress on one night at Halloween.
Or what good is having all the toys if you can't get out and play with them every once in a while?
Right, exactly.
Well put.
But, thank you. But I think you're wearing a lot of hats. I mean, you've got, what, your designer, your writer, your director, your music director, you're writing the music, and I'm surprised you're not designing the noses for the Who's. You've got to give somebody else a chance to work, man.
Well, I subscribe to the thought process I have my whole life that the more you do, the more you get to do. And I know a little bit about a lot, and you know, I'm very lucky to have had some opportunities to work with some great people. You know, you'd mentioned the prosthetics. The people, you look at the prosthetic work on the Who's and Whoville and the Grinch, and the best compliment is you don't see makeup, you see the real characters. And again, that's kudos to Michael Burnett and that group. And you know, the design of Whoville, the set design, it looks like the animated special has come to life. And you know, a guy named Curtis and a guy named Rich were the guys that took my script and asked me questions, and we would, you know, still frame the special and look at the book and look at the architecture and the color palette. And it's, again, there's so many people that worked on this that all, we used to have a slogan for Grinch. It was, it's for the kids, it's for the kids. And, you know, that meant not just the real kids that came, but the kids in all of us. And we all held on to that, and that's why I think, you know, that particular show is something, like I said, it's very dear to me and very dear to a lot of people.
Really cool. Well, we know that you are very busy, and we've ripped you away from your family long enough. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
No, I got to get back to Halloween. So
yes, get back. Conceptualize, build.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, John. It's always a pleasure, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Happy
Festivus. Happy Festivus, Happy Life Day, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, Feliz Navidad, and anything else. Happy Life Day is actually from the Star Wars Holiday Special, but anyway.
Fighting
so
the
guys have a,
Lumpy's
have
upset
a,
because his dad's not home for Life Day.
I know. What's his grandpa doing, though? But, yeah, you guys have a great holiday season, and everybody that, you know, comes out, thank you, and I hope 2009 is a great year for everybody. So take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you,
Michael. Bye-bye, man. You rock.
Mr. Michael Roddy, can you get any better than that? Good gracious.
Hey, did Quinn sound a little like Max, my friend I took to iApple with me?
I have
like,
no idea, but we need to take
Max,
a break. And we need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have another guest scheduled to call in, so we'll see if that one happens. And we're actually going to be talking to Susan from SeaWorld all about... Come on, Bruce, you're supposed to jump in there, man.
Christmas with Shamu!
Yeah, all that fun stuff. All that when we come back.
That's my whale speak.
That's very good. Keep it up.
Keep it clean for the kids.
Safe. Do you like action movies?
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Comedies?
What? Thank you, Doctor.
Movies so bad that they're great.
I want to break every beautiful bone in your body.
Do you think Steven Seagal gets screwed out of an Oscar every year?
No bathing suit in the kitchen.
If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to check out the Kick-Ass Movie Podcast.
Do it now.
A new movie every week from two college kids with way too much time on their hands.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Check them out online at kickassmoviepodcast.com or myspace.com/kickassmoviepodcast.
Hey, what's going on, In the Loop fans? Clint Novak here with the rest of the In the Loop crew. Go ahead and say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh, that was exciting. We're promoting In the Loop here, guys. Can we do a little more enthusiastically, please?
No!
Come listen to us every single Monday night at 7:30 live on Blog Talk Radio. You can catch us at CoasterCrew.com.
That's right. Check out all the coaster news and more jackassery than you can shake a stick at.
And see who will be voted the douche of the week. Douche! I just can't do it like that, Kim. In more ways than one.
AwesomeBadness.com. Step into the abyss.
All right, and welcome back, everybody.
I'm convinced that
Novak is a real name.
Actually, I have no idea about that.
I'm going to change my name to Studley Explosion Guy.
.com.
I should.
Guy Sturdley. That's going to be my new podcast name.
Preston Backslash. So, Eric, well, since we're going to talk about SeaWorld here, what else? We went to SeaWorld. We went to we saw Pat McCabe at
Speaking of In the Loop, we did run into Pat McCabe at
Fort Wilderness.
Fort Wilderness.
Whispering Butthole or whatever.
Canyon.
It was.
Same difference. I mean, you know.
Crevasse.
It was
a very scary experience, but I tipped 20%. Let's all just put it that way. So, get away from that.
Dude, all I've got to say about that is Scott had a orange soda as big as his head.
Yeah, and I thought I was going to get diabetes from it. That's right. I didn't say diabetes. I said diabetes.
Diabetes.
Wilford Brimley.
Ever since the thing attacked him, he just had that diabetes.
You know, I only have one SeaWorld Christmas story, but I'm going to tell it real quick. We were at SeaWorld Christmas, I think it was 2 years ago. It's a real quick story, I swear to God. We were in the shark exhibit, you know, where you get on the conveyor belt and you go through the shark tank. Well, you know, why'd you do that? They have a shark cage they lower into the water, and they have people standing in the shark cage, you know, with the shark swimming around them, and then you're on the conveyor belt watching them have the shark swim around them. Well, we got onto the conveyor belt and looked up, and standing in the shark cage, and I swear to God, stretched into a wetsuit, where they found a wetsuit to fit her, I have no idea, was a woman. I swear to God, this woman had the largest rear end, the biggest ass I've ever seen in my life. Seriously, it was huge. I mean, it was like two human heads that had been shoved down her pants. And she's just floating there above us, and we're trying to watch the sharks, but all we can see are these two giant yellow, you know, bright yellow-clad buttocks in spandex just floating above us. And when I Christmas hands, exactly. When I think of World of Christmas, that's what I think of, a giant yellow ass.
Okay, Christmas what does Sam Neill think about Bruce's story
when he saw those things?
Okay, was anyone else picturing
him in scuba gear with bubbles coming out of his yellow?
I don't know, when I heard that story, the only thing I could think of was just
mashed potatoes.
I like how we can use the same two sound bites.
And every single time we use it.
You know what I like? I like peas, frozen peas, so much.
Yeah, we're not going to do that one this time.
So tell us about, seriously, Eric, now let's go. We're veering off here. Tell us about meeting Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
Very nice people.
Yeah, really cool people. It was surreal. It really was. You know, we've met all kinds of cool people, cool icons, such as, you know, Roddy and Aiello, and, you know,
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, Brendan. You got to meet Brendan Fraser, which was really cool. But for me,
Dee Snider.
Yeah. There was nothing like that. Tom Savini, but those were just people kind of in passing for me. But to actually sit down face to face and stare at Vanna White's eyes where I was looking. No, I'm kidding. She's in her 50s, and my God, she is put together so well. She really is. She's a gorgeous woman, and she's just unbelievably hot to this day. And yeah, leave it to me to talk about that. But just completely cool people, really interested in what their fans have to say, and just really into the fact that, yes, they play Hangman for a living, and they have delusions about it.
That's the great that's the great thing ever, that he's actually said that.
He actually said that. Yeah. Come on. I mean, really, we play Hangman for a living, and, you know, it's cool that people dig it. So.
You know, somebody has to. You know, I've always said that if you are the best in the world at what you do, no matter what it is,
do it.
Like playing Hangman, for instance, if you're the best in the world at it, you can, by God, make a living.
Yep.
No doubt. And
having said that, I'm a Jeopardy man myself, but, you know.
Trebek.
Well, Jeopardy, you know, Jeopardy comes on and it's always like, well, here's our Jeopardy champion. He's a nuclear physicist and translates Sanskrit scrolls in his spare time.
What is Jeopardy but just generic trivia with the pompous flair of asking the answer instead of the question? So, I mean,
also smart on Wheel of Fortune, they're a little less. You know, here's our contestant Bubba. He's
stay at home, Dad. All right,
fascinated by shiny things on the ground.
It's Weird Al Yankovic versus a stay-at-home dad. Let's roll that wheel and hope for not a bankrupt.
Oh, in
survey says
no. Yeah, I am a Jeopardy man myself too. I really like Jeopardy, but it was really cool to see something that's been on for 25 years, and really we got to sit in the audience. We got to sit right close to the stage. We got to see how they did things, and it was really
actually cool. Did the show from SeaWorld.
From SeaWorld, yeah.
And I was waiting to go on the Kraken, but they didn't let us stay in the park.
That would have been really cool.
That would have been cool. But I got to tell my most embarrassing story to Vanna White, and I think it's video if it ever comes out.
Yeah,
well, I told
actually working on the video right now, and I'm working on all kinds of different cool stuff. Within the next week, you will see... You will see video and pictures from our taping at SeaWorld.
Man, because that's what everyone wants to see, right?
Yeah. Dude, I don't care about you. I don't know about you, but I want to see.
I'm just kidding. It's cool. I really thought it was a really neat thing. It was something that we would never have gotten invited to unless we did Theme Park Podcast, even though Awesome Badness.
Yeah, Theme Park leads to meeting the Theme Park journalism leads to meeting quite a few odd people. Like the year that we ran into, were you with us that year when we went to the Christmas parade at the Magic Kingdom and we saw Regis and Kelly,
yeah.
I believe. Like Regis is just the opposite of Pat Sajak. Apparently, he's unfriendly as hell.
Yeah, he was kind of flicking people.
He was kind of just being all rude. Generally, I don't.
He was giving him dirty eyes and everything else. I've seen him in.
Here's the story. We actually got
come near me.
An insider tip that they were going to film the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Parade that you see on Christmas Day, and this was like a few weeks before Thanksgiving. So
it's
they
so merry. Oh. I needed insulin. That's how merry it was.
Yeah, we actually. Went to the park. We saw them taping. They had Regis and Kelly behind some glass, and literally, somebody yelled out something to Kelly, and Regis turned around and flipped them off. It was great. It was one of the coolest.
It was great. It was cool. Yes, Regis was just so unfriendly. And
give the guy a break. He's been dead for like 15 years now. So
for a guy that doesn't, for a guy who's famous for not doing anything.
Yeah, he's coming back for Celebrity Password again, actually.
All right. That's
pretty
great.
Well, have SeaWorld on this week, which is a shame because I really wanted to hear about Christmas with Shamu. And
it was my giant butt story, wasn't it?
It was your giant butt story.
It's not SeaWorld's fault that the woman had a giant butt.
No, it's not SeaWorld's fault at all, but... They should really separate the whales from the sharks. Oh,
seriously, the sharks were like, look. So, for any hopes of getting anyone from SeaWorld on ever again, there goes that, folks.
No, but we'll go ahead and since this is our giant monthly theme park show, and we had the great Michael Roddy, who was great enough to call us.
Yeah. Oh, you know who we could get on the show? We could get Brooke. I could call her.
No.
No. Okay. That has been thrown out.
Wait, you know who we get on the show? Let's call a couple of my ex-wives. Let's just call them up right now and let them be on the show.
It's the 20-minute prank call show. Let's do it. Let's just start.
I'm not drinking the tequila yet. Hang on. Let me give them a bunch of. No, it's Christmas. I'm sorry. That'd be drunk.
We're going to have to talk about that kind of deal. One cool thing.
It's already 50% rum. I can't go any higher than that.
Let's talk about just the Christmas and the theme parks in general, as we would, I guess.
Yeah. The time we had Michael Roddy on the show, and he was talking about Christmas. That was cool.
That was very cool. I'm so glad that we were there for that. And
that was a great episode, actually.
I say let's just take the recording of that and play it for the second half of the show.
Yeah, like
what we're doing now. Seriously, on a serious track, last year, this is actually the second year that SeaWorld is running the Polar Express experience. Now, while I'm not a fan of the ride that they...
I'm so sorry.
I am a fan of the facade and all the work that they put into it. I thought that was really cool. You walk into the boys' room, you're watching. Okay, all right, yeah. I laugh it up. You guys can all go to hell.
You just gave In the Loop a whole bunch of material.
I sure did. Oh my god.
I think you're in the wrong attraction here.
It is to the In the Loop guy. Derek is not here to serve you. He's here to serve the children.
Wait, what?
You walk into the boys' room. Here's a great attraction.
Well, I really liked that it's themed to the Wild Arctic area. That's one thing I'll give it because that's
That's not themed to the Wild Arctic area.
Go into the Wild Arctic area. You do it. Well, technically, it's the wrong pole. It would be South Pole versus...
You go into... You start off in this kid's room, and... Preston, shut the hell up.
I heard Scott. Okay, I'm sorry.
You start off in this kid's room. You see a little clip of the movie. A whole bunch of stuff happens, and then you end up boarding the Polar Express outside. You know, outside... At a train station in the kid's front yard, you do the ride movie thing, which is completely off sync and not really that cool of an attraction. But then when you walk out, you're at the North Pole. And it was really one of the most touching theme park experiences I've ever had because they even have the off-looking Santa Claus, although he did not have the black eyes.
Yeah, that's true. He wasn't an authentic Polar Express Santa Ana Claus. He should have just had contacts, black contacts, you know.
I want to throw out that Eric is a excellent journalist. What happened in the ride? A bunch of stuff.
Some things happened.
Going to the boys' room.
I didn't like the ride. It was basically... A clip.
Well, hold on. Well, the video that I heard everyone jump at was the neat in the pre-show, like the radiator explodes, doesn't it?
The radiator. You're in the kid's room.
The space heater, isn't it? I don't know what the heck it is. It's something.
It's a old radiator furnace looking thing.
And then everything explodes, and the people run out in flames. It's
terrifying.
Ever.
Then they set the room on fire.
Then
a polar bear gets loose.
Yeah. Santa's riding it.
Standing next to the polar bear and convincing some small kids that the polar bear had eaten Santa. So there's going to be no...
Well, wait, so where do you... In the ride, though, where do you exit? I mean, do you still have to walk through the South Pole exhibit with all the polar bears?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
I like the beluga whales. Well,
you got Busch Gardens Europe, speaking of the bush parks. They announced next year they're going with the holiday route and actually opening around Christmas.
Yeah, they're actually going to close, which this makes absolutely no sense at all. They're going to close for a few weeks right after Howl's Scream and then reopen as Christmastown.
See, that's the advantage the seasonal parks have with general rides and everything else. Their indoor attractions, they can maintain those so easily. I mean, they always look new when they open for the season because they've been closed for 5 months. So you get things like Dark Castle and your simulators, they've had all the tweaks and everything else. Well, you know, we're used to 365, so at least we get to ride all year.
Dollywood doesn't really shut down for Christmas. They're open every weekend through Christmas, I think they do that. They have a huge Christmas parade. That's one of their busiest times of year.
Yeah,
imagine going to a theme park when it's that cold. I still can't imagine going to a theme park when it's like 10 or 15 degrees.
Right. Well, I imagine there's no real rides or attractions you're able to
the coast
ride.
Open?
The only thing they do really
water rides.
Holy crap! What? The wind chill on a roller coaster must hurt.
Imagine
like
that.
Wait, Sam Neill, what do you think about going on roller coasters in the freezing cold?
What do you mean going on roller coasters in the freezing cold? You mean like whenever it's 10 degrees outside?
Yes.
You're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what was different about that one? I saw steam coming out of his eel. That was different. Great ratio.
I think I heard one of his balls freeze off there.
We've had bubbles and we've had steam, so there we go.
Well, what is Orson Welles like that is frozen?
Three sound bites is all you need on a show.
Yeah, that's all you need.
You can relate to it.
And that's all you need. Yes, Orson, what kind of stuff do you like on a ride? What do you think a ride should be full of?
Full of green penis.
There we go. Not even Orson Welles. Mirachi Moran or whatever that guy was.
The great impersonator, also known as the Brain.
Brain.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, other stuff going on for the holidays, if you are so inclined. Of course, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I am not a big... let's pay extra money to go to a theme park that we can go to all the time. I'm not big
on... But he is a big, let's go in a line that's a kid's room guy.
The boys' room.
Boys' room.
Shut the hell up.
Boys' locker room in the middle school.
And then you get strapped in by the Polar Express, which might actually be a police vehicle.
Yes.
And if he pulls...
I'll
go on, Eric.
And this is Dateline. And, that's funny.
Is it bad that you've been receiving letters from children all over the world, Mr. Claus?
Great.
Go to the 352. What's going on, bud?
See you in 2009.
They can't even prank us properly. What the hell was that?
See you in 2009.
See you in 2009.
It was the raspy voice, man. Coming.
Raspy voice.
He's coming for us.
It was the.
All right, the ghost of Christmas past. All right.
From the future.
I thought it was the IRS, actually.
Back to the Christmas Carol future.
It's a guy at the unemployment office. See you in 2009.
I think it might have been Joe Biden. See you in 2009.
Now, if it had been Joe Biden, he would have told us how he used to work with Teddy Roosevelt back in 1926 during World War II, and how they cleaned out Vietnam together. Or something.
So does anyone want to talk about what just happened? Because I'm a little scared and a little turned on. Which one would you rather hear about?
Neither. I want to talk about Mickey's so very merry. Wait a minute. Mickey's very merry. Jesus Christ.
Not so very merry.
This is actually the first time that I got to go back to the Magic Kingdom since what?
Merry Carol's very merry what?
Yeah. Since 2006. And the most important thing that we did on our trip there was ride the all-new Haunted Mansion.
What was new about it?
Everything was new about it. Even the old cobwebs were new.
Okay, so how new is the new attraction? How long ago did this happen? This happened like 2 or 3 years ago.
It happened like a year and a half ago, and I'm just getting back to it. So, when's the last time you went on it? Yeah.
Not for a long time. Last time I went to Disney World was a week ago with you, so we could go to the Whispering Canyon, drink diabetes orange soda. With
you can almost picture Wilford there in like a cowboy act, couldn't you?
On a horse.
Actually, that was really cool. The Haunted Mansion was really cool. They redid all the sound effects. They redid a whole bunch of the rooms. The N.C. Escher room, outstanding. That's all I can say about it. Just outstanding.
Eric, let's point out how good, I mean, to me it sounds like the best deal Disney can actually, or has given, I guess, as far as that goes. He said they capped the tickets and free cookies and holiday chocolate for $45. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was relatively inexpensive compared to a normal day ticket. They capped the tickets. The only problem that I had with it was that none of the holiday stuff was staggered very well. I mean, it was like, okay, 7 o'clock you have this, 7:45 you have this. So you had everybody there. They weren't there to go to the Magic Kingdom. They were there to see all the holiday stuff. So you had throngs of people just flocking to all the holiday stuff. The castle during the holidays, unfreaking believable.
Yes, I've seen that too. It really does look nice with all the LEDs draped all over it.
I mean, it's just dripping off.
Yeah, it looks ice. It's really cool looking.
So were the lines bad? Could you get on everything?
Yeah, we actually did. We got there at probably about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and the event ran from 7 to midnight. And we actually did a whole bunch of rides because everybody was at the Christmas stuff. So
now, what's the best haunted house there? Because it's late, there's haunted houses, right?
No, there's no haunted house.
Damn it! There's a haunted mansion, actually.
Yeah,
oh, I want to go on that.
Yeah.
Was Tom Sawyer Island open?
No, it wasn't.
The caves are great.
Yeah.
That would have been great at night, but just about everything else was open. You had Thunder Mountain, Splash Mountain, Pirates, of course, Space Mountain.
Did you do Pirates? Because they changed stuff up there. I don't know if you did it since they
I did, and I wasn't happy with it. It's just...
Meh.
Yeah.
It just dated it.
They put Johnny Depp in there, but when they put Angelina Jolie and those twins in there, that was just... That was too much for me, you know.
When Brad Pitt was swinging to a rescue with Jennifer Aniston, that's when I got turned off.
When are they gonna put in the Rolling Stones in there to really date it, you know? Because you know,
the Keith Richards.
Richards needs to be in there definitely.
Well,
yeah.
No, we'll see. Disney animatronic technology actually brought Keith Richards to life for the movie.
Oh,
keeps him alive today.
So they have to reverse engineer it to just get it in.
It's a step backwards in the process. Now they just need one that stands still in one spot and moves. So
I enjoy the Rolling Stones. I give them flack for, you know, being dead. But, you know, besides that, they're a great band. We should get them on the show, Eric, and we can berate them like this.
I'll work on that. We'll work on that. We'll get the Rolling Stones. Yeah, that's right. Next week, the Rolling Stones on the show.
They were on the Super Bowl one time, remember? The skeletons?
If you're the Rolling Stones,
the skeletons with the drugs. The skeletons with the flabby elbows.
Yeah, and they also work at the Haunted Mansion now. When you hitchhike, you see the big tall guy.
Lots and lots of waddles.
If you're the Rolling Stones, actually, when you see the reflection, that's Keith Richards trying to pickpocket your prescription drugs.
You don't. If you're addicted to drugs, you don't go to rehab. No. You have your blood changed.
Remember did you just quote a song?
It's for real.
No, your blood changed.
That Keith Richards had his old blood taken out of his body and new blood put in to replace his blood. All of it.
You punched out all my blood. All of it.
So, but, I mean, looking at the Disney factor, I don't get to Disney as much as I want. As I would probably like to, for financial reasons. But for $45, you get pretty much the whole night, and the main attractions, and free cookies and hot chocolate. I'm there, man.
Yeah, and that was one that I was kind of like skeptical about. I'm like, okay, free cookies and hot chocolate. There's got to be something wrong with them. If Disney's giving them away, there's got to be.
Must buy mouse ears.
One of us. You got to go on the electric car ride at Epcot that's funded by the gas companies. I'm an electric car. I don't go very fast or very far.
I always thought they should change test track to that.
Yeah, what is test track going to have? Like, is that car showroom and test track going to have a going out of business sale?
Yeah, for GM. I mean, no, is test track just going to shut down and like the collision scene? Like,
it's all going to be sponsored by Toyota now.
No, they're going to give it a generic theme and just call it Generic Motors. It's just going to
lay
like a disaster
off.
It's like a Disaster Studios.
Yeah. It's going to be like Disaster Studios. No, but it's all going to be Japanese run. You buy a! You buy a!
Damn it. Hey, say what you want about the bailout, but Toyota, Hyundai, they're not having trouble. It's the greedy ones that are, man.
That's right. Because we can stay completely on topic. That's right.
Boys room. Here, tell us a little bit.
So MGM. I almost said MGM. Oh, I'm a smack.
No, just call it MGM. Let's just.
Yeah, okay. Freaking MGM is what it is.
I can still call
you
it.
You theme park in Las Vegas at the MGM the MGM hotel that
that closed. That closed.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm pretending that that's what he's talking about. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna mess that.
Have fun with that. Because they have the this year I believe they have the Osborne lights again.
Sharon, lights are tangled again. Sharon, that should be a show. Just
yeah, I think they actually do have the lights up because we saw it advertised. When
yeah,
we opened up, you know.
They do have dancing lights. Yeah.
The one in Las Vegas doesn't have any lights. You want to know why? Because it's not open.
They don't even have a Star Trek experience. You know why?
It's not open. What about the Opryland experience, you know, where you go to Opryland, they have a bunch of different rides. What happened to that?
Not open?
Damn it!
That was a great park.
But if you want a piece of the New York taxi coaster, you can just ride Rip Ride Rocket, which will fly through the New York facade. Coming soon. It's a Vegas coaster.
Have you seen the layout for that? Is it the exact... it's not the exact thing as... As the Vegas coaster at the New York.
No,
New York.
It's actually less themed. Actually, Vegas has a taxi theme.
but that's still not the same thing. I mean, I saw at IAPA, we saw the
No, it's a huge layout, but a lot of it flies behind the facades of New York.
Well, that's good. You don't want the facades being.
But then, right. But then it cuts around and goes higher. So, and I think we're out of time.
Yep.
Show's
just about over.
I got 5 minutes.
I've got 3 minutes.
That's 2 minutes to talk without this.
That's all I need is 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, when Eric goes to little
that's
toy,
what she said.
Anyway, that's going to pretty much wrap it up for us this week. First
don't go in the little boys' room. Your radiator will explode.
Look out for giant asses in the shark tank.
Oh, my dear God. And you think this week is actually bad? That the first part of the show was absolutely wonderful, and I apologize to everybody tuning in late. The first part of the show was great. This
go back and listen to the first 20 minutes.
Special thanks to Michael Roddy and Universal for calling in. To SeaWorld for not calling in, but...
But thanks for taking... Let's go to Wheel of Fortune. That was them, right?
That was them, and thank you to...
Thank you.
Pat Sajak and
thanks,
Ben.
I'd like to thank 2009 for calling in, too.
Wait, this just in for the theme park show. Iran announces new coaster, 500 feet tall and 40 inversions. That's nuts. That is nuts.
Seriously?
40 loops. That's what it says.
No way.
We got our new coasting for kids, guys. I got a picture of it right here, but yeah.
If you guys think that this week is a little crazy, wait till next week.
Wait a second. I like how our outro music just stopped.
It stopped a long time ago.
Yeah, I know. And we just
Jumped the gun. He was like, I'm
jump the shark. We jumped the shark.
Jumped the butt.
So check out awesomebadness.com. All kinds of great articles up this week. More on the way. Make sure you listen next week for our very special Christmas episode from us to you. You're not going to want to miss it. Maybe you will. I don't care if you do or not. Just don't sue us. So until next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later, guys. Peace out.
Okay, something bad's going to happen in 2009, guys. I don't know what, but something.
Budget cuts.
The economy's going to go lower. We're going to go into a recession.
Thank you.
been a production of AwesomeBadness.com. Copyright 2008. If you have any questions, comments, or advertising inquiries, please email us at contact@awesomebadness.com.
I knew I forgot.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey.